It's got to be memorable. Radio is the medium of theatre of the mind. So Price and Item has its place, but it is not radio's strongest point. Radio's strongest advantage is creating theatre of the mind. It's creating something that strikes a chord with the customer. It's not about necessarily repeating the name of your business.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello and welcome to David versus David, and it's series two, and we are now all the way through to episode five. So it's the podcast for the small and medium business owner, where we talk about all good things in marketing and business. It's David Pritchard here in the UK, and it's David Council down there in Hobart, Tasmania. Hello, David.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Having a good week?
I've just about recovered from the end of last week's episode, where we kind of cracked up possibly the funniest ending we've had on a series, on an episode so far. Very good stuff. But yeah, no, it's been a good week, mate. Always good fun chatting to you about all this sort of stuff. You know, we've done some good stuff so far. Yeah, branding and search and advertising, copywriting and profitable websites. So yeah, all good stuff. You know, here we are, next episode. I hope people are enjoying series two as much as they're enjoying series one. What do you reckon so far? Are you enjoying it?
Mate, I'm having a ball. It is just sensational. As you said, we've covered some really, really great topics. And the feedback has been great. You know, people are getting absolute marketing gold extracted from what it is that we're talking about.
So this week then, David, what are we going to be talking about?
Why don't we have a look at radio this week, David? It's one of the big three of the main media, but it really is one of the more accessible media for the small to medium business person, because while there are lots of like little newspapers around, newspaper can be quite hard because, you know, there's elements of graphic design that's in there and there's writing that's in there as well, whereas radio still tends to be the sort of thing that you can do. Sure, you've got to write a script or you've got to work with someone who can help you write a script, but I think a lot of people find it a lot easier to visualize what it is they're trying to say as a communication medium when they use radio. However, it is also a medium that is very easy to get wrong and end up spending money in a way that's not going to attract the customers that they're trying to attract. Does that seem fair enough?
Yeah, so far, yeah, indeed. I mean, I must admit, I'm not. This is a medium which, other than being a listener, it's one that I'm not so familiar with. But I know you've got a long and extensive background in this, so you're obviously going to be providing most of the information today. But I'll be providing some of the questions, I guess. I mean, just out of interest.
Yeah.
Are we talking about small and local business advertising here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not necessarily talking about advertising on the big stations necessarily in London. You know, think about, you must have a local radio station where you are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we've got a couple, two or three competing ones, actually.
So there you go.
So, yeah, is it as popular, is it as effective as it used to be, or has it been hit by sort of the move to internet advertising and different advertising, or does it come back? Just put it in a bit of context for us, maybe.
Undoubtedly, all of the three main media have been affected by the change of the market. You know, just simply by the fact that there is more choice. The advertising dollar hasn't massively grown, so that dollar is still being spread amongst, you know, a larger cluster of places that you can go and advertise. And yeah, look, it did take a dip. Things like we're doing now, podcast, that's affected radio, but not in a sort of direct relational way. It's just people will listen to their favorite podcast. They will still listen to their favorite radio station. But as with any media, you've still got to approach it in a strategic way and think, why am I choosing this media? And that comes back to what we've said so many times before. Know who it is that you're talking to and know what the message is that you're trying to communicate to that group, and that will tell you what media. So if you've ended up at radio, then you've already worked out that that radio station is servicing that media for you in the best possible way. Because you could be using radio, for example, to grow your marketplace. So people who haven't heard of your business or don't fully understand what it is that you're doing, that's where you're using advertising not only to call people to action, but also to make them aware that your business provides this product or service that they may not have considered that you do. Whereas if you're advertising using, well, let's take podcasts only because I've mentioned it, then you're getting to a group of people who are listening to something for a niche interest, and therefore the advertising would be very targeted. So, for example, if we were to take on an advertising sponsor, or if we were to place ads into our podcast, you would need to think that it's unlikely that the local hardware store is going to be approaching us with that style of advertising, because the audience that we're attracting, even, you know, that some of our audience would obviously use hardware store products, it's not targeted that way. So the percentage of people who listen to this podcast is not going to be as high from the hardware store market. However, if it was, if they were trying to reach out.
I'd just like to interrupt this broadcast for an advert from our sponsor, Global Internet Hardware Stores. We're supplying the world with nails and screws all over the world.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Okay. But yeah, no,
exactly. But you know what I'm saying. So, you know, however, someone like a large stationery supplier or Squarespace. So Squarespace, you know, make websites. And while, you know, regardless of how you and I feel about Squarespace's websites, it would be a good target group for them.
Yeah.
You know, Audible does particularly well advertising through podcasts, simply because, you know, people who listen to podcasts are just as likely to listen to, you know, a different format of audio product like an audio book. So that sort of thing makes sense. So you've got to start with the strategy. You've got to understand who it is that you're trying to reach out to when you are using something like radio. And that's why I always say, you know, go to the radio stations and ask them about their listeners. Get some hard facts on who's listening and when they're listening. Because remember, people have favorite radio stations. They generally don't jump around a lot when it comes to radio. So you tend to listen to you hit the button in your car, or, you know, however you're listening to radio, and it's there. It's on the station that you like.
Just when it's the program that you don't like, or you have a particular program on another station that you do like, that you make the swap.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's like 80% of the time you listen to radio ABC, but, you know, it's, you know, you're not a jazz fan, and radio ABC has that running at 8 till 10 at night, so you have a different one on then, or, yeah, whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, the English have a greater tradition of listening to radio and moving around the stations a little bit, and that's because of, you know, for so long that there was regulated stations that were, you know, they were BBC One, BBC Two. So, you know, they were stations that the government owned, and they approached radio in the same way that television is actually approached. So, you know, there's a whole series of programs like that, and they occurred at specific times. So that would draw you from one station to the other. But if you look at a station like, there's a fairly big music station called Heart, I'm pretty sure, in London, for example.
Yeah.
And it's a music station with a solid music format, so you know that that station is going to play approximately the same type of music day after day after day. So, you know, if you're into classic rock, for example, you will listen to a classic rock station. And if they're doing their job the right way, they are holding you for large blocks of time. And in radio, that's really important. You know, that's called time spent listening. And time mm-hmm. spent listening is really important, because you want to know that if you're placing ads or sponsorship messages, or however you're approaching that radio station, that you've got people there for a long time so you can make maximum impact on them. Because remember, there's more than one way to get your message through with radio. My preference is good old-fashioned ads, because good old-fashioned ads give you time to expand on your message, just like we've talked about long copy before. Radio allows you to do that. However, if you need people to get a short, sharp message repetitively, and you're after the sort of person who would make sure they listen to the news or the weather on that radio station, then why not take a sponsorship of the news or the weather, so that your business name gets mentioned a couple of times where people are listening? I can tell you from a listener point of view, people will actually, let's take driving in their car, people will pull up if the news is on. There is a stronger chance that they will not turn their car off, or not turn their radio off, more importantly, and listen to the whole news bulletin before they get out, as opposed to, you know, mid-story, just, you know, get to where they arrive, turn the car off, and out they go.
Yeah.
And the same holds true for weather. Weather will drag people through a bulletin to get to the weather. You know, weather is something that we all want to know. And despite the fact that, you know, it really should be something that's being affected by people with their apps, it is still something that people listen to. So targeting them is a logical and strategic thing to do. So start with the strategy. Who's your customer? Where are they listening to the radio station? What radio stations are they listening to? Do they move between stations at different times of the day because there is a program that they're following? And how can you get your message placed in conjunction with that program or in conjunction with the time of the day that they are listening? Mm-hmm. Then the next thing, it comes back to the message. So you've got to look at that message and say, okay, so how do I have this message for the client? So you're writing the message, keeping in mind who it is that you're trying to talk to. Is it a 15-second message? Are you able to get across what you need the customer to know in 15 seconds? 15 seconds, not very long. You know, you're talking somewhere around the sort of 34, 36 words. So that's not a lot of words. Mm-hmm. So maybe you need a slightly longer one. Do you go to a 30-second ad or a 45 or a 60? Or do you start getting really clever and say, you know what, the greater bulk of the people that I'm trying to communicate with listen to the radio at 8:15 in the morning. Oh, look at that. The radio station has a commercial break at 8:13 and the commercial break is 2 minutes. Can I buy that full 2 minutes? You know, if I've got a long message that needs to be expanded, can I make sure that no one else gets into that break, that I've got time to communicate what it is and demonstrate my solution to their problem and do it in 2 minutes? And I can tell you that that works exceptionally well. But once again, it's a dollars issue. Because in any of the main media, it's dollars for seconds or dollars for column centimeters. So, you know, the longer you take, the more it's costing you, as opposed to internet style marketing where it's pay per click. Which can be equally as expensive, but you know,
there's a pay per pair of ears here as well, isn't there? I guess that, you know, I guess it's going to be documented as to what the audience numbers are at given times of the day and what your likely reach is here, isn't it?
That's right, and that's why the measuring device is cost per thousand. So don't let them confuse you with anything else. Get it broken down to cost per thousand. How much are you having to pay to reach 1,000 pairs of ears of your target? So if your target is 25 to 35 year old women, and honestly in most radio stations cases they can give you finer detail on the listening pattern. So once again, if it was the hardware store, so let's say it was 25 to 35 year old women who have two children who own their own home. If that's the person that you're most likely targeting, then you've got to find where they are in their biggest number during the day, find out how much it would cost to advertise, and then break it backwards to cost per thousand. And then you can start comparing genuinely apples with apples. And once you're doing that, then you know. You can compare it against the cost per click of internet advertising, or you can compare it against viewers on television or number of eyes that read a particular page in the newspaper. It's such a really easy way that you can level the playing field and compare everything that you should always try and break it back to cost per thousand. And the media will, in most cases, make it quite difficult for you to do that because they don't want to a level playing field in terms of comparison. They want to keep that comparison, you know, as hard to make as you possibly can because it's not in their best interest. Can't fault them for that. That's, you know, that's just good business practice. But you want to start getting it broken backwards so you can, you know, make that a fundamental pillar in your strategy, is knowing what's the cost to reach that customer.
Okay, what's next then?
Then you've got to start setting some goals. And along with setting the goals comes, what are you doing with the customer? What's your call to action? How are you going to know that they've come from that radio commercial to whatever it is that you want them to do? Now, you know, we've spoken about call to actions many, many times before. Do you want them to ring? Do you want them to go to your website? Do you want them to walk through your door? Do you want them to take advantage of a particular offer? Whatever it is, you need to be very clear about what that goal is so that you can start to measure it. Because the next thing that you're actually truly trying to measure is how many people out of those 1,000 listeners are you converting? Because it doesn't matter if they've got, you know, if your cost per thousand is $10 and you're only converting, you know, 0.0001, that might not be any good for your particular industry. For other industries, it might be great. It's going to come down to, you know, what are you actually making? If you're knocking out tea towels and you're making 6 cents a tea towel, that's not great. And chances are you've taken the wrong product through the communication phase to the wrong media, because you're never going to sell enough of them to actually make it worth your while.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, have you got any examples of how you track then?
Let's assume that you're doing two things, that your customers have got two peaks during the day where they're listening in their biggest numbers. One is while your shop is open, and one is while your shop is closed. So you could very easily then have two similar and yet different ads. One that calls them to action to make the phone call so that you can generate the sale and answer any objections, and the other one sends them to a website, specifically to a page that's also set up to answer objections and to either capture the lead or convert the sale. So you want to be able to do both of those things and independently measure each of them, because you'll know what time of the day each of those commercials are going to air. So at 8:15, if that's where your commercial is going and your business is open, then you need to know, how many times does the phone ring? Do I have the staff in place to handle the phone ringing? Do I only have one phone line? That being the case, why am I sending them to ring my business at that time of the day? Because I can only ever handle one phone call. And if I can't efficiently move my way through those phone calls, how many people am I losing? Because they get the call to action, they make the call, the phone number is engaged, there's no other way to capture it, they lose interest and they forget to call me back. So you've got to think about all of those sort of things. Also think about, how much am I trying to increase my overall sales? Because you may have made a great offer in your call to action, which involves discounting or valuating your product. So the overall profit of what it is that you're doing is diminished by making this offer. So you've got to actually sell, you know, X percent more just to get back to normal sort of profit levels. So you need to know what that is, so that you're not going, gee, we sold 15 of these today, and that's great because we wouldn't normally sell 15. However, you might still be upside down because you haven't sold enough of them, just to bring you back to the break-even point. Remember, this is not about charity. This is about conversion. So you really must remain solidly focused on making sure that your sales numbers are enough. Or for that matter, it might be, if it is about leads, then you've got to say, well, my goal is from the morning call to be able to capture 50 leads, which I can then provide to the sales staff to follow up at a later juncture. If that's how your sales process works, same sort of deal comes off your website. You need to be able to track how many people go to your website and how many people convert having gone to the website, and also where else are they going on your website? Because here's a bit of extra information. People who are interested in buying, you know, the hammer at the hardware store, and you've sent them to that page on your website, so they go through and they go to the hammer page, what did they do after that? Did they leave? Did they go and look at nails? Was screwdrivers the other thing that they looked at while they were there? Because that's forward-rolling research for you to tell you the other things that people who are interested in hammers are also interested in. Now, it may not do you any real good in this particular sale. However, what it will do is next time that you go to make this sale, you'll know how you can start packaging stuff together. It's like, you know, the old way that you set out your shop. If you've got something on special, you don't put it at the front. You put it at the back. You're trying to drag people through so that they see all of the other stuff that's there. You're not trying to make it inconvenient. You're just trying to get exposure to the other stuff that is in your shop, in the hope that they will buy something else. And you've got to think about which aisle they're most likely to be drawn down to get to where you want them to be. If you're a supermarket, that's why you've got aisle ends. You know, when you get to the aisle end, and think about last time you went to a supermarket, there's stuff on the end of every aisle. And that's not there by accident. People are paying good money to be there. So you've got to think about this as well. How can you take advantage of the extra information that you're going to get by people traveling to your website and looking at something else afterwards? Have you set up a mechanism to track that? Equally, have you set up a mechanism so that when people call your shop and generate that lead, what else did they ask about? Does your staff have a system in place to record that? Because at least when they're talking to your staff, you've got the opportunity for them to sell that, but there's no good in them just selling it if you're not capturing that information so that you know how next time you're going to package it together. Mm-hmm. And you would be surprised how often that they don't do that. You know, they don't have that system in place. Another thing in terms of strategy is, do you want to sell out of the product that you're advertising so that you can then use the people who continue to come after the special has been advertised to convert them into selling something else which has got a higher profit margin for you? I'm sorry, we don't have that anymore. We've sold out. However, we do have this. It's not quite the same price, but it is available. This is a tactic used very often in the used car market. Now, you've got to be very careful to not do what's known as bait and switch. Bait and switch is where you advertise a product that is unbelievably cheap, and then the salesperson tries to switch them to the other product. Usually, the original product didn't exist, or it was withdrawn from sale. So it's being tricky in a detrimental way. So don't think about it as bait and switch. But if you've got 2010 Ford Laser, and you're selling it at a price that is $6,000 below the nearest competitor, but you also have six other same cars, but you're selling them at $4,000 less than the normally advertised price, then that gives you an opportunity, because that first car will go. Mm-hmm. So you've at least got something else to offer someone as an alternative, rather than having them ring up and say, oh, yeah, I'm ringing about the 2010 voice. Yeah, look, I'm sorry. It's sold. First person who looked at it bought it, as you'd expect. And then that's the end of the... Where else is the conversation going to go?
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. I've got a Toyota Corolla I might like to sell you. No. If you've got the other car, try and sell them that. Come and test drive it. Bums in seats. Well, same sort of deal. You know, if you're selling hammers and you've advertised a hammer at $2 and it's normally $4, but you've decided that you want to sell out of them so that you can switch them to the hammer that is $2.50 that you've got a greater profit margin in, then that's part of your strategy, and you've got to think about that. Too often people don't think about that, and they just, you know, they're just trying to move stock that's become dead. Well, that's okay, but, you know, is that what you want to do every time? Is that how you're going to grow your business and find new customers and serve exceptionally your existing customers? I don't think so. I think that's a really, you know, that's the road to ruin for most businesses.
It's not really a positive strategy going forward, is it? There's no element of recurring building relationships there. You're just getting rid of one thing at a time and having to do all the work to advertise that and sell those things one at a time, if you like.
Absolutely.
What else do you want to bring into this? You know, something going through my mind here would be, how do I go about? I mean, you said, you know, develop your message and so on, but specific tips for, you know, what makes a good ad, I guess.
Ah, okay. So it's got to be memorable. Radio is the medium of theatre of the mind. So price and item has its place, but it is not radio's strongest point. Radio's strongest advantage is creating theatre of the mind. It's creating something that strikes a chord with the customer. It's not about necessarily repeating the name of your business. If you are doing price and item, then repeating the name of your business or the phone number, these are important things. You've got to get them out there multiple times, because that's what you're really trying to burn into people's brains. But you can use the theatre of the mind to create a scene in someone's brain that makes them remember and makes them come back. You know, remember when David Attenborough first really hit the scene? He had such a distinctive voice, and what he was presenting on television was so genuinely unique. Well, there were ads that were made at that time where people just mimicked his voice, took that presentation style and applied it to their product, because that had not been done before. So David Attenborough's notoriety, without saying David Attenborough, converted over to getting people to remember things about products that they hadn't associated with, because it was clever. It didn't necessarily have to be funny, because being funny is genuinely hard. If you're not a funny person, don't try and be a funny person. Just, you know, write the facts, get it across to them, but present it in a way that uses the theatre of the mind, because they hear the David Attenborough voice, they think David Attenborough, and start making positive associations with your business, because David Attenborough already owns real estate in their brain. Mm-hmm. So that's a technique. Make sure that people understand what the benefit of doing business with you is. because that's something you've got to take away, because even if you're doing price and item, the price is not the only benefit. Because I'm telling you now, if price is the only benefit of doing business with you, they will do business with you once. They will do a series of one-off transactions, and all that they're really looking for is cheap. And that's where you get these people who do sales at the same time every year. And you look at their sales figures in the 4 to 6 weeks in the lead up to it. If the customer knows that there's a sale coming, they don't do anything. They wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you've trained price buyers at that point. Well, same sort of deal. You know, don't make price the only benefit of doing business with you. If you've got a catchy slogan, then use your catchy slogan and use it a lot, because you want to bed it in, you want to burn it into their brains, and you want to burn it in so that you're creating customers for life and from a very early age. And above and beyond everything else, make sure that the call to action in your ad is clear. Because if they've got to think about it, it hasn't worked. You know, people don't want to have to struggle to understand what it is that you're trying to tell them. If your message is too complicated, scrap it. Go back to the starting blocks and start again. It's got to be
easy. Would you say it's fair to say you want to focus on one thing and one call to action?
Absolutely. You know what? I was talking to a company only this week. We were writing some new radio copy for them. And she said, here are the three things that I want to get across in this ad. And I listened to what she had to say, and I said, okay, but that is three ads. Even though all three things are common to your business, you're talking about three very separate experiences that clients are likely to have with your business. It is so unlikely that any two of those things are going to occur in your customer's interaction with your business at once. And she looked at me and she said, you know what, I'd never thought of that. She was just trying to get value for money by packing lots into the ad. And by having single call to actions in each of the ads, it means that you can target those ads against different times of the day. So in this particular case, one of those ads was service related to a product. So the person in the business who would be concerned with the service is likely to be different to the person in the business who is involved in the training, which was another one of the services that she was offering. So those ads will run consistently at different times of the day, targeting those different groups of people. Yet they will have consistent themes between the two that will make people understand that they're hearing an ad that is from the same company. So they will think, even though they've heard the service ad and they might be the training person, in their brain it will register as the other.
Yeah, you know, it's quite interesting. I mean, that's a kind of case where somebody that knows their own products and knows their own business and knows what they offer is so, you know, that's the viewpoint that they see it from. So they want to get all that information across sometimes. You know, it's natural, you sort of, you know, we do this, and blah, 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 and this is why, you know, you're so, you know why you're in business, hopefully, and you know what you offer. And so you're very, very keen, understandably, to get as much information across as possible. Whereas that is information overload for the person at the other end that's receiving that message, whether it's through a web page, whether it's through a radio ad or whatever other medium you have. You know, that person has got one focus on their mind. You know, they've got one thing that they're looking at, either problem that they're fixing or you know, that they're contemplating a product or service or whatever, and yes, they want, you know, your message might just be actually we do lots of things, but you know that might in itself be a unique selling point in your industry. You know, maybe the fact you do offer an end-to-end service, whatever, but to go into each individual aspect of it is just too much. So, you know, as David was saying there, you know, one thing for one advert, one thing for one message, one call to action for one thing, and have different individual adverts, different individual web pages, whatever, for each one. And maybe then one overarching message that helps build that awareness and build that brand. But trying to pack everything into one ad is probably not going to work effectively.
Yeah. Now, time has zoomed by today, but I've got two things that I want to mention to wrap up. Radio is a game of reach and frequency. You need to reach the audience a large number of times. So frequency is important. The average person needs to hear your ad at least 3 times before they'll take on board what it is that you're saying, especially if you're using shorter formats. So reach and frequency, make sure that you understand that. You can't just run a radio ad once and hope that it sinks in. It would be great if you could, and if you can, that's exceptional, but it's not the rule. And the other thing is, what else does radio work with? Because if you can get it to work with other media, then you actually reduce the amount that you have to spend in radio, which, as I mentioned earlier, can be expensive because you're paying for dollars for seconds. So radio works well with billboards, radio works well with social media, radio works well with pay-per-click, radio works well with television, radio works well with newspaper. So radio is a great joining medium that works, you know, in conjunction with others. So look at that as you're creating your message and targeting your customers, and see where your opportunity is to reduce the amount of dollars that you're spending in radio that you can buy a cheaper medium with to complement and enhance and improve that reach and frequency in radio.
Look, that's all good stuff. You know, as ever, hopefully our listeners are finding this to be as good a series as the rather extensive series one. We're covering lots of good stuff here. Hopefully there's some really good little nuggets in here. We are going to be talking next week about social media, I believe. Is that correct, David?
Yeah, making your social media work. You know, this is a very big topic. We've got half an hour to get through a lot of information. It's definitely one to make sure you check out, because, you know, half an hour to get all of that in, you know, what we like, it might run over just a little bit, depending on how many squirrels and rabbits we run into along the way, because big topic. And seriously, every day, a day does not go past when someone says, doesn't say to me, you know, Dave, how do I get my social media to work for me? What am I doing wrong? You got to check this out.
Yeah, indeed. So look, okay, this episode hopefully has been useful. You can find it along with all the other episodes at davidversusdavid.com. You can also find it, so engage with us through our Facebook page, facebook.com/davidversusdavid, and good old iTunes as ever, where you can subscribe and ensure that you get the next episode delivered straight to your inbox, which is obviously what all sensible small business owners would like to do. So really, I guess until next week, it's going to be over and out from me here in the UK.
Catch you later from me here in paradise. See you, gang.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council.